Hi, I'm Eileen Balinski, senior editor at Living on Earth. Mark Lender, welcome to Living on Earth.
Hello, Eileen.
Mark, you live on the east coast of the United States, but went to British Columbia to look at loons. Why'd you go so far from home?
The issue is relative tolerance. We have loons, of course. In fact, I've got a pair that winters every year right in front of my house on the ocean. But they're not going to let you get near them. And this particular place that I go in British Columbia is known for its rainbow trout. And so it draws a lot of fishermen, and it's a small lake, and the loons become relatively acclimated to people, and that allows you to approach them. And otherwise, you wouldn't be able to do that.
How unusual is it to get up so close and personal as you did to this family of loons?
Highly. I've never been that close to a nesting bird, and especially not with that degree of acceptance. These animals didn't show any nervousness. They seemed to be completely comfortable with us. They didn't give any of those quick head turns that they do, you know, looking at you sideways before they move away. They were aware of us. I wouldn't say they ignored us, but there was clearly no discomfort.
Were other people able to get that close?
I don't think so. I think something unusual happened. You know, loons, particularly when they're on a nest, they've got a lot to fear. There are bears around. There's a lynx in this neighborhood, although we didn't see him. I know he's there from reports I heard. There are probably foxes. There are eagles, who are certainly a threat to the chicks and the eggs, as are just gulls. And none of those animals are going to come anywhere near when there's a human being there. And the loons, I felt, came to realize that. It was certainly proved because I saw gulls come in and cry and turn away, and eagles as well. And so we became like guardians, and we had something of an understanding with them. I mean, I felt it very deeply that I was standing guard over them, and their comfort with us seemed to indicate that they felt that way too.
How long did you wind up watching them?
About 8-10 days.
Wow. That's a long time.
And long days. starts to get light that far north that time of year, maybe 3:30 in the morning. You begin to see a little bit of light in the sky. And so we'd get up at 3:34 and be in the boats by 4:30. And you already had enough light to see and to begin taking photographs. And then we would stay in the field. You know, it wouldn't get dark till 10 o'clock, completely dark. So we would stay in the field until after 8.
Wow.
Yeah, you do that day after day and then come home and collapse.
Yeah, that is a long day.
Very long.
Mark, how surprised were you when you got to see the father loon calling to his babies?
It was extraordinary. I've talked to people who know loons far better than I do, and I've not found anyone who's ever seen a male imprinting his offspring like that. And that's clearly what he was doing. He was extraordinarily loud, ear-splitting even from the 30 feet away that we were. And you could see the chicks literally leaning away from him as if they were being, you know, half blown over by the power of that voice. It was just amazing. It was clear that he was imprinting them. And it raises all kinds of interesting questions because, you know, if this is all instinct and everything out there is just mechanistic, then what did he bother to do that for? They would have figured out all of that on their own. They would have known that call on their own, but he didn't think so. I was unbelievably privileged to be part of it, to see it.
Well, Mark, thanks for telling us the backstory.
Thanks, Eileen.